Therefore, the theme of this epistle is for truth's sake. For truth's sake. When truth and love come into conflict, this is quite interesting. Truth is that which is the one that is to predominate. It is the one that has top priority. Did you notice that Paul in 1 Corinthians 13 didn't say, now abideth faith, hope, truth, and love? He just said faith, hope, and love. And the greatest of these is love. But when truth is brought in, then truth comes first. That's very important to see. All important to see. In other words, truth is worth contending for, and it is wrong to receive false teachers. Now, that's the position that I take very definitely. I think that the truth in the Word of God is worth contending for. And when I say truth, I mean that which is basic to the fact that this is the Word of God. No question in my mind about it. And the second thing, the deity of Christ and His work on the cross for us. Now, when I meet a man that's true on those essentials, then he and I can disagree on non-essentials. I have a very good friend. He's a Pentecostal preacher. And I played golf with him. And he and I naturally get into a friendly argument. And I always end up by saying to him, I said, brother, you and I agree on so many things. And I love to hear you talk about the Lord Jesus and talk about His death on the cross. You thrill my heart when you talk, as I've heard you talk. But I said, brother, I want you to know that you and I disagree on a few points, and I'm going to pray for you because I think you're wrong. Well, you know, he turns around and says the same thing to me, and we leave each other laughing. And as far as I know, that man has never said an unkind word to me or about me. He's my brother. I wish he could see it as I do, but it'll just have to be that way till he gets a little more light, and I want to be patient with him. But I want to tell you, he stands true on the inspiration of Scripture. He stands true on this matter of the deity of Christ. He stands true on the fact he died for me. Now, when a man does that, he's my brother, and I can't escape that. Now, even in this little epistle, I have made a threefold division. And love here is expressed in the boundary of truth in the first six verses. Love in truth. And then verses 7 through 11, its life is an expression of the doctrine of Christ. You will express what you're thinking. A friend of mine came up to me after I'd made that statement in a sermon. He says, there's an exception to that, Dr. McGee. And I said, what is it? He says, it's a woman driver. He says, when she puts out her hand signal, she's going to turn left, she turns right. He says, she doesn't always act like she's thinking. Well, may I say to you, many of the women I've met, they act like they think. And for that reason, action certainly reveals what you're thinking, what's in your heart. Now, personal greeting is in the last two verses, 12 and 13. False teachers are not to be received by the Christian, but true teachers are to be received with joy. Now, this makes this very lovely here. And I want to say just one other word, and it's relative to another word here. It's the elder unto the elect lady. Now, the word is presbyteros, and presbyteros is presbyter. It has a twofold meaning. It could mean a senior citizen. It could refer to age, or it could be a title referring to an office or a minister, a teacher. And candidly, I'm sure that John primarily just calls himself here an elder, speaking of his office. He doesn't call himself an apostle, and I think he also infers the fact that he's now an old man. He's actually up about 90 years of age in the 90s, approaching 100 when he wrote this epistle. Now, this refers to John here, and now we have that much nailed down in the epistle. The elder, John, unto the elect lady, evidently an outstanding Christian woman who had been entertaining a few of the apostates and Gnostics in the church. And John writes this warner that to love the brethren means not to love heretics at all.